Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are packed. It is a Wednesday live in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt stops by. The college football rankings are out. The first bracket has been delivered, and it basically smartly allowed college football to already select their teams. You don't know it, but they did last night. The season's not over, but the bracket's complete as of last night. I'll explain that coming up in 10 minutes. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. College basketball started last night, too.
And I sat last night and I watched the entire Lakers-Chicago bowl game, so I'll start with that. The Lakers mailed it in, a sloppy, didn't play any defensive mess for three quarters. Then they decided, let's play great, win, 16-0 start in the fourth. By the way, I've seen every single good NBA team so far. The Clippers are the best team I've seen. The Lakers are the second best team I've seen. They have very different ideas on how to win a title, but you can schedule the championship parade at the Staples Center. You can put up the orange cones on Figueroa Street. You just have to figure out, will the bus be Clipper blue or Laker gold? My guess, it's Clipper blue. And it's funny watching that game last night. And tonight, Kawhi Leonard will sit out load management game against Giannis. And of course, it's the right thing to do, though I don't think it's great for fans, and I think it's lousy for the league, and I hate the optics. It's the right thing to do because the Clippers are so darn deep that Lou Williams off the bench averages 20. Montrezl Harrell off the bench averages 20, and they will compete, probably lose, but compete tonight. The difference between the Lakers and Clippers, though, is not just that the Clippers have much more depth than they do. It's because the reason Kawhi chose the Clippers is different than the reason LeBron chose the Lakers. LeBron made a decision when he came to LA. There were far better rosters. The Lakers were a collection of young guys that couldn't stay healthy, couldn't really consistently shoot, and were too young to win a championship. But LeBron chose them because he came to LA for business. LeBron said, I'm going to go to LA and figure the rest out later. Kawhi Leonard was different. Kawhi Leonard chose the Clippers only for basketball. He had a specific private meeting in Malibu. Jerry West's house, Doc Rivers was there, Steve Ballmer was there, and he said, will you keep Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and the bench? Will you get Paul George? Can I take 22 games off a year? Yes, 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 I'm in. Kawhi Leonard chose the Clippers specifically, not just primarily, overwhelmingly for basketball. LeBron chose the Lakers for business, I'll figure the basketball out later. And in my worldview, the athlete who chooses sports first and business second should win and eventually will. For the record, LeBron is flourishing in Los Angeles. He's got movies, he's got shows, he's got a pizza chain. He is very much a part of Los Angeles. So he's flourishing, and the basketball's pretty good. Kawhi, you see him a little bit, billboard here or there, but his basketball is great. But the Lakers, unfortunately, because of the way LeBron chose them, need LeBron to play 37 minutes a night at point guard. Rondo's too old, past his prime. Avery Bradley's a combo guard. And Caruso's a C to a C-plus player, although he occasionally has A-minus highlights and dunks. The Clippers do not need Kawhi. They don't need Kawhi because next week Paul George gets healthy. They don't even need Kawhi to play in the entire regular season. Paul George in this roster with Doc Rivers could make the playoffs. That's what happens when you choose basketball first and business later. The Lakers have two problems why they can't catch the Clippers. One is solvable. They need another guy off the bench. Andre Iguodala's there, 18 minutes a night. He'd be really good, and it's solvable. The other one's not solvable. Hey, LeBron, we need you to play like for 39 minutes a night at point guard. We know you're in your 17th year. We get it. But we need you to defend small, young, quick guys all the time. I know it's not a cool ask. These triple-doubles are nice, but as we've seen from players, those wear guys out. And Kawhi Leonard's taking the night off. Folks, wouldn't you like a world where the quarterback that loved football, Lamar Jackson, is better than the quarterback who had 9 commercials this offseason, Baker Mayfield? In my world, I want the athletes that commit to their sport, especially early in their careers, to be better than the athletes, yeah, I love football, but I got another insurance commercial to shoot. I'm rooting for Lamar over Baker because one of these young guys is totally all in on the football thing. Worry about the endorsements later. And I understand LeBron choosing business over basketball. Let's be honest. He could have gone to the Sixers. He could have gone to the Rockets. Hell, he could have gone to the Clippers. He could have gone to a lot of better teams. He chose business over basketball. And finishing second to Kawhi is exactly where you should be. It's why the Clippers will win. It's why Kawhi and Paul will be fresher. It's why you can already schedule on Figueroa, put the orange cones up. We're having a championship parade. I've watched all the teams. But it'll be a blue bus with Kawhi holding the trophy and LeBron going, I got a movie coming out in 2 weeks. You guys may want to stop by the theater. Second place isn't bad in the West, but it's not where Kawhi is going to be. All right, finally. You know, I'm fairly verbal. This is what I do for a living. But sometimes I can't quite trying to tell you something and it doesn't come out. And I'm trying to. Dak Prescott's a hard guy. He's an enigma. I like Dak Prescott. Don't love him, but I like him. And I thought, wait a minute. I finally found the example to explain why Dak Prescott should make $28 to $30 million and be a franchise quarterback. It's taken me 3.5 years. Nobody said I'm fast. Nobody said I get stuff quickly. So this weekend, the Cowboys host the Vikings. And I want you to think about this. They're identical teams. Both led by a dominant rusher. Could be the best two running backs in the league. Both have indisputably, inarguably, great rosters. Both have lots of weapons for their young quarterback. Both have winning coaches, yet they're both on the hot seat. Both organizations, the primary issue is we don't win enough playoff games. One has a quarterback who got paid a lot, and not everybody's happy about it. And one has a quarterback who's going to get paid a lot, and not everybody is going to be happy about it. Even their seasons have been identical. Both the Vikings and Cowboys crushed Philadelphia. Both the Vikings and Cowboys lost to Green Bay. Both have an inexcusable loss. 16-6 to the Bears? With all your weapons, you couldn't move the ball? And how did the Cowboys lose to the Jets? And overall, there's a theme this year. They beat the bad and average teams. They struggle with the good ones. Let's burrow it down even further. When I rate quarterbacks, and I did this morning, and I only count guys who have played an entire full season. So Lamar Jackson's hot, but I can't count him. Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, Brady, Breeze, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Jimmy G, Matt Ryan, Big Ben, sabbatical, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford. And I always, on every list, get down to Dak right ahead of Kirk Cousins. Even Fox Bet, Dallas -3. Home field is 3. They're dead even. But do you know why I like the Cowboys this weekend? Because I like Dak over Kirk Cousins. Because you know what Dak is? Dak is Kirk Cousins if Kirk was a little more clutch and had a little better wiggle and mobility. And you may not like Dak Prescott, but if there was a quarterback in college today and I said, he's a lot like Kirk Cousins, hella accurate, big stats, but unlike Kirk Cousins, he's actually better in the fourth quarter than the first. He's kind of clutch, and he's got some mobility. Oh, that would be a first-round quarterback. Dak, like many quarterbacks in the NFL, was underdrafted. Half this league has been overdrafted at quarterback. I could go on for hours. And a bunch of it, Tom Brady, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Dak, have been underdrafted. This game sums it up. We have two identical teams with coaches we know are good enough to win a division and good enough to win a playoff game. But can they get the Super Bowl? Star backs, great rosters, players on the perimeter, more than enough weapons. Just can't win that second playoff game. A quarterback that got paid and you're not happy. A quarterback that will and you won't be happy. And when you rate quarterbacks, you, on any list, you end up with Dak and Kirk right next to each other. Not as good as Derek Carr. Certainly better, in my opinion, than Cam and many of the other guys. But I'd take Dak over Kirk because he's more clutch and he's a little better runner. And that today is a first-round pick. I like Dallas to beat Minnesota this weekend. It may, in fact, be one of my Blazing Five picks. And it took me 3.5 years to figure out how to describe Dak Prescott and why I like him. He's Kirk Cousins. Plus the two things Kirk Cousins is bad at. He gets tight and he can't move.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you like.
So college football waits until November and you play, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 games. And then they come out in college football, the playoff rankings come out. And the committee is always saying something without coming out and saying something. So Ohio State is one, regardless if I agree with this, and I mostly do. Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Bama 3, Penn State 4, Clemson 5, Georgia 6. It's very important that Georgia is 6. So what does that tell you? 3 of the top 6 teams are in the SEC. So the playoff, SEC, the South gets the highest college football TV ratings in America. So the committee is telling you, we once again think the South has the best college football. The South has the best college football. And sure enough, if you look at the top 10, SEC's got 4, according to the committee. Big 12, 1, ACC, 1, Pac-12, Big 10, a couple. So they establish, we think the SEC is number 1. Then they established, we are punishing Clemson. They have not lived up to the hype. But we know the teams in front of them all play, so we will get them close enough to move them right up to 2 or 3 or maybe 1 if they keep winning. They want Clemson in because they think Clemson can give Bama a test. So they establish the SEC, 3 of the top 6 from the South. That allows them, of course, to choose Bama and LSU and let them both in, regardless of the outcome. So Clemson's going to get in. Nobody in the ACC is close. Winner of Ohio State, Penn State in Columbus, I'll take Ohio State, will get in. They want some regional diversity, right? They want a northern team. But LSU and Bama play this weekend. And if LSU loses to Alabama, I mean, that's like losing to the 2000 Yankees or the Shaq Kobe Lakers in 7 games. LSU's going to have a bunch of good wins. LSU's only loss is going to be to Bama. They will have beaten Auburn, which beat Oregon. They will have beaten Florida. Texas, by the way, isn't in the top 20 now, but they're getting healthier. Young kids will go back to the bench. Texas will win 2 or 3 in a row here. And so they'll beat a Mississippi or 2. Mississippi State's pretty decent. And then LSU will say, we're in. And if Alabama loses, they'll still have the best loss, LSU. They will be Alabama. It's the best conference, the SEC. And oh, by the way, they've got the Tua excuse. Well, I mean, Tua was playing at 60%. I mean, we lost by a point, and we had our quarterback at 60%. It was 24-23, and there were several calls that didn't go our way, and we didn't have Tua, and we are in the best conference, and it is the best loss. Oklahoma's loss is ugly. Oregon's loss is to an SEC team. That's easy to sell to the public. And, well, what about Penn State's loss? It's 2 weeks from now. It's too late. This loss is easier to digest. You forget about it after Bama chalks up or LSU chalks up more wins. It's very important. 1 through 6, they're making statements. The SEC's best. We want two in. Clemson's out, but is close enough to come up to 1 or 2 if they play well. And loser Bama LSU, as long as it's competitive, we can get them both in. Now, you can argue Georgia could get in. I don't think Georgia is any better than Oregon. I think Oregon's got the better offense. Georgia's got the better defense. Georgia can't throw the ball over the top. Oregon can. Oregon's got the better quarterback slightly. They're very similar teams. One more offensive driven. Oregon's got a lot of weapons, good receivers, great quarterback, good O-line. Georgia's about defense, but can't throw the ball down the field. Utah, Oklahoma, they're all kind of in the ballpark. But I thought they said a lot without saying a lot. They want Bama, LSU, a Big Ten team, and Clemson in. So we get a Northern team, one that can compete Ohio State. We get Clemson, the defending champs, back. That would be a huge rating game, I think, against Alabama here with Trevor Lawrence. And we want a second SEC team in.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I've said before, I'm not really a guy who's the best player stuff, whatever. You can argue that all day. But if you ask me this morning, I need a bucket and I need a stop, I take Kawhi. If you ask me, I need a bucket, I need 2 points, I take Kawhi. I need a stop, I take Kawhi. Nick Wright, this, of course, infuriates Nick Wright, who is the host of First Things First. He's joining me via the Coward Global Satellite Network. I watched LeBron last night. By the way, anybody notice LeBron last night? Great until the fourth when he couldn't play because he was exhausted because he's an old man who needs lots and
That's not true. That's not even what happened. You're just lying to the audience. I can't even let you get to the question if the premise is going to be built on a castle of lies. But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, my whole point is Kawhi chose L.A. for hoops specifically. Sat down. I want Lou. I want the bench. I want Paul or I'm not coming. LeBron said, I'll come to L.A., I'll figure out the hoops later. And I think in a world of sports, I want Lamar Jackson to succeed, not Baker. I want the guy all in to succeed. And I'm rooting for Kawhi over LeBron now. Is that bad?
Yeah, no. So I heard your opening monologue, and I thought you raised a really fair point that even when a guy reaches GOAT status in his profession, you don't love it when he starts showing interests other than his profession. By the way, before I forget, congrats on that restaurant you just opened.
Thank you.
Looks awesome. Burger and Grill. I'm very excited to go there. But as we were saying about people showing interests outside of what they're the greatest in the world at, now to LeBron James. The idea that you are saying you want Kawhi, you're rooting for Kawhi because he is showing a dedication to basketball. Meanwhile, LeBron is not. You know what was really cool about LeBron last night? He played. You know what's going to suck about Kawhi tonight? He's going to be wearing a suit. I mean, the idea, LeBron in year 17 is averaging a career low 35 minutes per game. Kawhi Leonard in year 8 averaged a career high 34 minutes per game. This year he's back on his resting pace of 30 minutes and skipping 25% of the games. That's the guy you want to reward. It is inexplicable to me. Let's start with this. Show up to work as often as possible. As long as I've been following you, Colin Cowherd, not a lot of sick days.
No.
Not a lot of extended vacations.
No. Nope.
Kawhi Leonard is 28 years old in year 9, and he is skipping games before Paul George even gets back. LeBron James has more gray in his beard than you have in your head, and he is playing every single night for the number one defense in basketball, the number one team in basketball. I heard you say the Lakers to catch up with the Clippers. Catch up in what? They're better than them this year in every applicable category, and by the way, they still have the best player in the league.
That was a very good argument. Very compelling, as always. You make very, you make, that's why you do
it's
what you
right
do.
It's the right argument.
Yeah, well, you do. Okay, now let's go to Cam. It is interesting. Now, not, I like Andrew Luck more than you did. I like Dak more than you do. There are players that you like and I like. I think we'd both admit Dak can win games. I've always been a little bit more of a fan. I was more of a fan. On Cam Newton, I've always said he's Westbrook. He's remarkably talented. He's a superstar. I can't his willingness to play hurt and play hard, I'll never question. But as basketball's become more about shooting, the game's moved away from Russ. And as football's become more precision, the game's sort of moved away from Cam. I think we have a perfect breakoff point. I don't know if Kyle Allen's the guy, but he's a hell of a transition. They pay him a nickel, meaning all these young players can get two or three free agents next year, and in a sloppy, choppy division, you move off Cam. My guess is you hate that.
Well, it's what's going to happen. You are correct that it's going to happen. I think it will be an enormous mistake for Carolina. Your criticisms of Cam are well-founded. The problem is this isn't a Drew Brees hurts his shoulder. We have Phillip Rivers waiting in the wings. Listen, I was in Houston when Kyle Allen was playing college football. I watched Kyle Allen go to Texas A&M and get beat out for the starting job. I watched him transfer, go to the University of Houston, and get beat out for the starting job. He then left school early to be undrafted. He then got cut by the Panthers, then cut by the Jets with their glorious quarterback depth chart. And now, the only argument for Kyle Allen is the team is winning. All the numbers are outside of the top 20 in football, and they seem to be rushing to get rid of Cam Newton. I would be afraid to give Cam a contract extension right now. But he's under contract next year for $20 million. Now, you're right. They are going to move off him. And either the Bears or the Titans, I'd say the Broncos, but Cam's far too good for John Elway to want him to play quarterback for him. One of those teams is going to sign Cam Newton and be better for it. And the Panthers are going to be drafting a quarterback in 2021. Because if Kyle Allen is the answer, the question is, name a mediocre backup quarterback, not a franchise quarterback.
I think that's reasonable and fair again. So far, you're two for two. Listen, last year, and I said this as somebody that lived in Connecticut for 10 years, I said, I don't know how the Patriots won. They had no vertical threat. Gronk's old. Brady's older. This year, they're on a third-string kicker, a four-string left tackle, a backup center, and no Gronk. I don't think you can bury New England, though, because we know this sport is a chess match, and if they played Baltimore again, I would take them in Foxborough. Did you think there was anything more than, oh, damn, Lamar's fast, we've never faced him, we're over our skis, we're on the road, Baltimore's off a bye, or do you think it resonated beyond that?
Well, I'm not burying New England. Listen, I think this year the NFL does not have a favorite. I think, and I'm just going to list teams, but New England, Kansas City, Baltimore, Green Bay, New Orleans, San Francisco, Seattle. To me, you have seven teams that are all like 10 to 15% to win the championship. I don't think any of the other teams, Houston, Philly, Dallas, Minnesota, the Rams, I don't think those are real contenders, but I think we have seven teams that you can make a great case for any of the seven, and they all have flaws. My issue was New England was being elevated into a tier by itself because it had beaten the worst list of starting quarterbacks the league has ever had to offer. I was laughing. I was like, they've gotten to play every bad team in the league this year except for Cincinnati and Atlanta. And then I looked, they somehow still get to play Cincinnati later in the year. I couldn't believe it. Like, how did this happen? The Patriots finally that had to play real NFL competition, and they weren't ready for it. That game was 17-0 en route to being 24-0 until former Patriot Cyrus Jones made a better play for the Pats than he ever made when he played for the Pats, when he muffed that punt and temporarily let them back in the football game. This is the worst Patriot offense we've seen since the Matt Castle year.
You're right.
And folks might have been slow to acknowledge it, but I think now they will finally acknowledge it. And you mentioned one thing that I think is wildly important, especially once the playoff begins. They are on their third kicker. The New England Patriots had gone 25 uninterrupted years of Hall of Fame kicking. Vinatieri right into Gostkowski. Now they've got a I don't know his name, but he's not very good. And he's the guy that they replaced the other guy with. That's going to matter. Who are the other two teams in the AFC? Justin Tucker, one of the greatest kickers ever. Harrison Butker, one of the most accurate kickers this decade. I think that's a key point. And by the way, Tom Brady looked across the field against Baltimore and said, oh, that dude's better than me. He looked across the field last year at Patrick Mahomes and said, oh, that dude's better than me, but they were able to overcome it. Yeah, I'm not burying the Patriots, but I think right now they're the third best team in the conference.
Well, thank you for the Herd Burger. Yes, my new place is open in Torrance, California. That was very kind of you. Yeah. You gave me a little gateway in to talk about it. Nick Wright, you're amazing. You made very...
Please, hold on real quick. If you're going to talk about it, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm just letting you know. It's a long drive for me from New York City to Torrance, California. But I'm showing up, and I don't know if you watch The Sopranos, but you remember Tony at Vesuvio, how he had the endless tab?
Yeah.
I'm assigning myself to that. I'll be there often. I'll pay it never. But I'm going there at every chance I get. Thank you, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So, you know, coming into the NFL, I said I would not draft Baker Mayfield if I was GM. I said he's draftable, but for me as a GM, he was undraftable. I wouldn't want his personality. I like Darnold over Baker Mayfield. I thought Darnold was more mature. I think that's a big deal with quarterbacks. Darnold's a bigger, stronger, better athlete. I think Baker's a more accurate thrower. I like his release better. But in the end, 20 years starting quarterback, I take Darnold, his maturity, his big, his strength, his athletic ability. Both of them obviously are struggling because the coaching situation's bad and they have bad O-lines and blah, blah, blah. But Sam Darnold said, I saw ghosts. He was mic'd and everybody laughed at it. Baker Mayfield seeing more of them, a flock of ghosts. He just hasn't been mic'd yet. So a stat came out. Baker Mayfield has the lowest passer rating in the NFL. But here's the key. When not under pressure, he's the only quarterback in the entire league with more picks than touchdowns when not pressured. So it ain't the offensive line. And by the way, he leads by a long shot. Second is Andy Dalton. Third, Josh Allen. Fourth, Kyle Allen. Fifth, Mitch Trubisky. You like any of those guys? Maybe Josh Allen's athletic ability? So, and remember, Baker's got excellent wide receivers. Sam Darnold doesn't have one. Okay. So, that be that as it may, you know I like Darnold. Freddie Kitchens says, well, because everybody's looking for an answer. What is it? Here's Freddie Kitchens this morning.
There's a lot of factors that go into that, you know. I don't think he's just wildly missing passes. Mm. So, I don't know. I don't really look at that. I just want him to get better today, just like I want him to get better this week, more than last week. I truly do not look at stats.
Now, do I think some of it's Freddie Kitchens? Sure. Some of it the O-line? Sure. Some of it OBJ sort of doing his own thing on the outside? Sure. But here's my real hunch. Baker Mayfield was overdrafted, and I said it day one. Listen, that's okay. Quarterback is the hardest position in American sports to draft because it's the only position in American sports where 30% of the contract is based on leadership. I asked Jimmy Johnson, what's leadership? He said, I don't really know. Troy Aikman had it, but I can't explain it. If Jimmy Johnson can't explain it, then I can't. If Jimmy Johnson can't nail down what Troy Aikman had, he said he just kind of had it. He could walk into a room and other guys looked at him. I talked about it this week with Jimmy G. He's kind of got an it thing. Guy walks in, people listen to him. Guys, alpha males, millionaires listen to him. He was overdrafted, and that's okay. If you look at the NFL right now, virtually every player was over or underdrafted, about 28 of them. Dak Prescott was underdrafted. Drew Brees was underdrafted. Tom Brady was underdrafted. Dak was underdrafted. Derek Carr was underdrafted. Jamarcus Russell was overdrafted. Johnny Manziel was overdrafted. Christian Ponder was overdrafted. God, I could go on for days. EJ Manuel, greatest kid ever, overdrafted. The whole Andy Dalton, to me, second round, overdrafted. The whole league's... Peyton Manning was drafted right. Dan Marino was underdrafted. He didn't go in the top 15. Aaron Rodgers was underdrafted. Patrick Mahomes, 10 teams. You know, people say Lamar Jackson. Lamar went in the first round in a year where there were five quarterbacks. You got to remember, you know, 22 teams to 28 don't even need a quarterback. So if a quarterback drops to the second round, you know, if you get drafted late first round as a quarterback, you're not over, right? We don't know if Lamar's going to be all-time Dan Marino great or Aaron Rodgers great. But I think Baker Mayfield was just overdrafted. He would have been the team that I talked to that really needed a quarterback had him as the first pick in the second round. And they said, we don't think he's going to play as a rookie. He's not ready to play. He's got a certain system that works. You got to surround him with the right offensive line and the right weapons. He's a very accurate thrower, but he's not walking into a bad team with a bad line and a bad GM and a bad owner and winning. And that's what he's got. And I think he was just overdrafted. And I don't think it's the end of the world. And that's not a shot at Cleveland. I think it's the hardest position to draft. I don't think Sam Darnold was overdrafted. I think he's a first-round pick, and the GMs I talked to thought Sam Darnold was not as good as Andrew Luck. He's clearly not as talented as Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, but he was a first-round quarterback. I had three GMs tell me, Darnold's a first-round quarterback. All three said, Baker's not. Okay, so, and they were split on Lamar and split on Rosen. Two didn't like him, one did. But this is, it's a hard position to draft, and Cleveland, this is what he is. Everybody's got tape. Aqib Talib talked about it yesterday when he faced him this year. He's got habits and patterns in the media now, the league, that they've caught up and they've seen him.
My honest opinion, I think the game is moving fast to him. We got a pretty good defense, a great pass rush, so he had guys in his face. He even could work on the scrambling. The scrambling is always to the right. We had it in our game plan. He's going to scramble to the right. He's going to look at one receiver, and he's going to scramble to the right. So our rush plan was gauged for somebody to scramble to the right. So when we looping guys to our left so they can meet him when he scrambles to the right.
I think he was overdrafted. I think if he would have gone early second round, mid-second round to a really good team, sit for a year and a half and play with a great coach and a good O-line, he'd be fine. But he is not good enough to go to a bad owner, a bad GM, a bad coach, a bad offensive line, and people get film on him, and he has a tough schedule. This is what he is. 57% completion percentage. 5'11 and a half.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
College football came out with their first bracket last night. Let's bring on the voice of college football, Joel Klatt.
What's up?
Who is doing number one Ohio State hosting Maryland this weekend before they play Penn State and probably win that game. So, in 2 weeks you're doing Penn State at Ohio State.
That's right.
It's going to be one of the great games of the year in college football.
So. Yeah. I think so.
All right, so let's start with this. I think my premise, the committee was saying things without saying things. So let's just go to the top six that the committee said.
Okay.
So put that up to the top six. What the committee is telling you is we want Clemson in because they're defending champs, but we don't like how they've played.
Okay.
So we put them at five to punish them, but the other teams play each other, so we'll be able to move them way up. And at six, we put Georgia over Oregon and Utah, and that's a real thing because we want two SEC teams because we think it's the best conference and they get great ratings. And so LSU-Bama, close loser gets in because they go, well, it's the best conference. Three of the top six are SEC teams. And I don't have a problem. The loser of LSU-Bama, I have no problem putting in.
I the only thing I would disagree with, I think a lot of that is right. I actually think Alabama at three was the biggest deal of the whole playoff. The whole ranking system, you can talk about Minnesota being 17. You can talk about, you know, Oregon being behind Georgia and so on. I actually thought that the biggest revelation was Alabama at three, because I thought that the message that was sending is you don't have any room for error. You lose at home to LSU, you're likely out. You're likely out because you're going to be a non-division champ. You're not going to go to your conference championship game. I think that's going to be hard to overcome there. I think what this ranking told us is that the road teams in those gigantic matchups, LSU and Penn State, they're actually the ones with some margin for error here, in particular with how the game goes. I think if LSU were to lose that game this week in a close fashion, if Tua is healthy.
Hell of a loss.
It would be a hell of a loss.
Way better than Oregon or Utah's.
Maybe. And so I think that they're telling us that, actually, that, hey, Clemson and Alabama, because your schedules have been so weak, because Clemson, you're likely to play 13 games, go 13-0 against no ranked teams, you know, at the end of the day, because Alabama, you've got the 127th ranked schedule right now in college football as it relates to opponent win percentage, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. I thought that's what it was saying to us last night.
And here's why. I think it's really smart. Yeah, you know, sometimes it happens. And
you're
but
the best.
The reason I don't buy that, because if that was true, then why the hell do you put LSU under Ohio State? They got on the phone and scheduled Texas. They got
yeah, but they're
the
not getting credit for that right now because Texas is not ranked.
But they're all getting healthy, and Texas is going to win about four games in a row. But at least they gave them credit. Scheduling Texas and beating them deserves it's valuable.
The math would actually suggest that Ohio State's schedule has been more difficult to date than LSU's. Now, you can
what
roll
math
your eyes
is that? What computer are you
opponent
using?
Opponent win percentage.
Oh, that's stupid.
It's 563 or something along that stuff, 564 for Ohio State. And there's also another element to this. It's just the complete nature, the dominance, and the overall quality that we've seen from Ohio State. Think of it this way, Colin. LSU beat the 10th and 11th ranked team as the committee sees them, which is unbelievable. It's a large reason why they're inside the top three and in the top two right now. They beat them by a combined, I believe it was like 68-45.
Yeah.
The combined score of those two games. Ohio State beat the 13th ranked team as the committee sees it and the 20th ranked team as the committee sees it by a combined score of 80-7. Ohio State's just been more dominant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can do eye tests. You can actually do the analytics. Every computer on the face of the earth actually favors Ohio State over LSU when you're just coming down to a pure rankings standpoint from the strength of schedule standpoint. And I think that the committee actually has Ohio State by a decent margin over LSU. And Rob Mullins, when he was answering that question, I thought made that very apparent. It was kind of like, hey, they're the best team. We watch the film. We look at the analytics. Like, it's pretty much no question they're the most complete and most dominant team in the country,
which I've been saying
since week three.
If I said to you, Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, fourth won't matter. We got three teams that can line up, coaches, quarterback, three teams. Buckeyes, Clemson, Bama. Fourth will be irrelevant. They're just the first team to get knocked out by, you know, I kind of feel like that's what we have.
Maybe. I think a lot of that depends on this weekend, right?
Okay.
I mean, a lot of that comes down to LSU and Alabama.
All right.
If Alabama wins this, then yes, we're headed straight down the path of an Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and then whoever qualifies for that fourth spot.
And I will say this. Ohio State's a real team.
There's no doubt in my mind.
You can watch them for 5 minutes. Don't think you're going to get a 33-0 Clemson over Ohio State game.
No.
That ain't happening this year.
No, and I think that the only weakness that they've shown is that Wisconsin got after the quarterback a little bit in the first half and banged up Justin Fields.
But I don't love Clemson's D-line. It's not nearly as good this year.
It's not what they were a year ago. Yeah. And the best defense of those three is actually Ohio State's. And remember now, if you go back to the start of the BCS, defense actually matters once you get to the championship point. No team has ever won, or excuse me, one team since the start of the BCS has won a national championship with a defense ranked lower than the top 25. It was Auburn with Cam Newton. Their defense was ranked, I believe it was like 58 or something along those lines.
But they had Nick Fairley up front, I think, in the D line.
They did. And that made it incredibly tough on Darren Thomas and that Oregon team to run the football.
Yeah. See? It's like this thing never shuts
off. It's like a trap.
I can pick out names from the 50s out of this thing.
Can you?
Depends on what the names are.
Well, one of us were alive in the 50s.
You're a jerk. What a big jerk. So I'm not even going to do your top 10. You put out your top 10. I pretty much agree with it. Ohio State, LSU, Bama, Clemson, Penn State, Oregon. Oregon, you know what? I've been selling Oregon stock all year. People in Portland hate me, but here was my thing. And I do think Oregon's a real team. If you put Oregon and Georgia to coin flip, I'd take Oregon over Utah. I'd take Oregon over Oklahoma. Let me say this about Oregon. I think they have the best quarterback in college football.
Okay.
I talked to an NFL GM this weekend. He said, Justin Herbert, you don't even need to – this is an easy evaluation for us. Secondly, their O-line matched up. It's a real O-line.
Yeah.
It's NFL guys.
They're big and physical.
Big and physical.
They don't have a great back.
No,
I know Verdell ran for over 200 yards against Washington State, but they don't run with great patience or vision. They're a real team.
This is a team that could beat an SEC or Big Ten team because they have three NFL offensive linemen a top five quarterback. And let's be honest, my knock on Oregon is I didn't know if it was a good coaching staff. It's a hell of a recruiting staff. They got yep. NFL players all over the field.
They're recruiting at a very high level. Two things that you want to be aware of if you're thinking about Oregon as a potential playoff thing. I think that a team that they've got two really good arguments at that point if they need them. Here's the first: is that in their first game of the season they were decimated at the wide receiver position, so they were not healthy, and that's something that the committee is supposed to take under consideration.
Do they also consider this? They outplayed Auburn for 3.5 quarters.
That's right. They only trailed for 9 seconds yes. in that game. They had a drop in the end zone. They missed a field goal with a true freshman kicker. I'm not trying to give them a pass, but that's an argument they would use. There's also one other one, Colin. I think it's actually the better argument for Oregon. If at the end of the season they are the one-loss Pac-12 champion, they will have won 12 straight games and gone 10-0 in conference play.
Yeah.
Did you know that no team in this modern era of 9 conference games and a champ game has gone 10-0 in conference play? We haven't seen it yet. Ohio State might do it. Penn State might do it. But Oregon, if they do that, that would be a huge feather in the cap. And the chairperson of the committee is Rob Mullins. I know he will be recused from the process, but this committee clearly values scheduling, going out there, testing yourself against the best. I have a really strong feeling that if Oregon were to win out, pending on this Alabama-LSU outcome, I really think Oregon is a team that could sneak into the playoffs.
If you like Georgia and you're a Southern football fan, you have to like Oregon. Georgia can't throw the ball over the top at all.
That's true.
Oregon's a better offense. Georgia's a better defense. They both have really solid young coaches. If you went to Vegas, it's on a neutral field. It's a one-point game.
I agree.
You can't like Georgia and not Oregon. And they both have NFL quarterbacks.
Yep.
By the way, Georgia's got the best offensive lineman, left tackle in football, and their right tackle's great too. So that you got quarterback NFL, great offensive lines, young, good coaches, recruiting at a high level.
The advantage would just tip towards Georgia because their front seven stops the run.
That's
and they
right.
do it so well. They held Florida to 1.1 yards rushing per rush last week, which was pretty impressive.
All right, let me look over this, Klatt. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay, what
right,
do we got?
Most of your stuff's pretty good here. Okay, here's so I don't want to go down into the weeds too much
okay.
on this. I like to keep it simple for the audience. I talk to America.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I connect with America.
With your $500 shoes?
There's no reason to bring that up again.
I'm just saying.
They were a gift.
I'm just saying. America, he's talking to you.
Okay, America. So Jim Harbaugh has a new plan for the playoff system, and it's a lot of noise.
Yeah, and it's not very good.
Well, but his theory is, let's get it out to 11. So could I make this argument? College basketball lets everybody in. College football's too exclusive. Isn't there a middle ground at about 7-8?
Okay.
What don't you like about Harbaugh's plan?
Here's the deal, without getting into the weeds. As soon as you expand the playoff past 5,
okay,
they are going to give themselves automatic bids for the conference champions. Okay?
Okay.
That's just what's going to happen.
You don't like that?
No, because it automatically nullifies the importance of the regular season, namely non-conference games. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You can play Wofford, Northwestern State, Citadel.
But you still have to win your conference.
I understand that, but remember that the most unique and important part of college football and the biggest differentiating factor that we have as a sport, which is in large part why it's the second most popular sport in the country, is the fact that the regular season is so important.
Are you sure about that? I think it's the second most popular sport in America for a lot of reasons. One, it's football. Two, we bet football. Three, it has a connection to the NFL. Four, we love the draft. Five, it's fun to watch. Six, everybody went to a college, so you got a plaque on your wall.
All of those things are true, and I'm not going to argue with any of those.
Your whole thing is it's all about urgency.
Well, yeah, and there is urgency every single game, every single week. You know, when I go in for Wisconsin or Ohio State, there's urgency there. When Florida and Georgia play each other, there is urgency even outside of the rivalry. And I think that makes a big difference in college football. The last thing that I would say is that even though I don't think it's good for the sport, I do think that that's exactly where we're headed. Let me just clue
you into it. What do you mean we're headed to 8 or 10 or 11?
We're headed to 8, and it's going to happen before the contract is up. I've had some conversations with very high-powered people, and this is the way – this is some big J here for you. Ready?
Okay.
So let me get this out real quick. I've had conversations with people that are very much in the know. The reason that this is going to expand to 8 before this contract is done is because it's the only way that some of these conferences that are on shaky ground as it relates to their entire structure remain together.
Okay.
Namely, the Pac-12. Okay, so the Pac-12, if they're left just on the outside of the playoff and they keep getting left out, and then the new media contracts come up, guess what? There's likely going to be some shift in terms of conference realignment. Some of those schools are going to leave because they're not happy with the Pac-12 right now.
And you don't want your
games. The way that the conference office in the Pac-12 holds this conference together is by lobbying for and getting an automatic qualifying spot for its champion.
All right, fair.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense.
And I'm telling you that it's going to – I'm not here like, oh, I think – it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen within, I would say, 3 to 4 years.
That's why I love that, because I like to include America. I don't like exclusivity. I like to include America in everything.
But the problem is, and you can't argue with this, you cannot point to a season in the history of this sport where you can make a legitimate argument that the 7th and 8th team in the country deserve a chance at a national championship.
I used to make that nonsense argument. You can't make
is that nonsense?
But you can't make an argument that the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference could win the title. We still let them into the NBA playoffs. You can't make an argument that Kyle Allen could win the Super Bowl. We'll still let him into the playoffs.
And in your last segment, you were talking about load management. You want load management in college football?
Listen, I got news for you. LSU, Bama. You could say it wouldn't mean as much if we had a playoff. Oh, yeah, guys in the South aren't going to watch LSU-Bama.
They'll watch it, but both teams – this week's game, LSU and Alabama, in an 8-team playoff scenario would mean nothing.
Oh, but nonsense.
Nothing, because both teams would be going to the playoff regardless.
So
it wouldn't mean anything at all.
Clippers-Lakers played opening night. Didn't mean anything. We all watched.
I mean, who? That game drew – far fewer ratings than any quality college football game. You mean to tell me that you think NBA ratings are good?
Time out. Ravens, Patriots.
Last Friday night, SmackDown on our air on Fox. Go get it, WWE. Smash the NBA.
Well, whatever. All I know is this.
So don't argue for ratings the ratings aren't there.
You're making an argument that LSU, Bama.
It wouldn't mean anything.
What else are you going to watch?
It's Saturday.
Oh, so that's. But. You guys are missing the point.
I get the point.
There's 82 games in the NBA. You're not adding an astronomical amount more games.
How about last weekend's Sunday night affair with the Patriots and Baltimore? Yeah, it was entertaining. Okay, does it matter?
Wait, does it matter?
Tell me if it matters.
Yes.
It does.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, it was.
Why? Because they're going to play each other in the playoffs anyways. All I'm saying is that this sport, college football's biggest differentiating factor and its most important feather in their cap is the fact that the regular season matters.
Yeah, guess what? The NFL season matters, and they have 16 games, and you can lose 5. It's okay. It still matters. You got to watch the games.
But you argue that that's better?
I think.
Why is it better that you can lose 5 and be okay?
Because NFL teams don't play Wolford.
Yeah, and the NFL ratings are bigger than college football.
I like you. Basically, what you're saying, Klatt, is urgent. Like, I wouldn't watch Bama LSU if we had an 8-team playoff.
Take out of consideration.
I would watch it, the whole thing, regardless.
I understand, and they'll get a lot of viewers. I'm telling you that the game itself would mean far less.
Ah, God, it's still a great game with 28.
It only matters in sentiment at that point.
Well, guess what?
It doesn't matter for postseason play.
At this point, my life is all sentiment.
Well, I get
that's my whole life at
this
point.
Trust me, we already established you were alive in the 50s.
Okay, I got to get out of here.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, whatever.